Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. We had a great show. We're going to be talking about the bubonic plague and some of the stories and fables and scientific research of the time of the plague and see what it says. It's interesting stuff. But before we get into that, a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. We're in Hebrews 4 today. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So yes, if you want to get to that throne of grace, you got to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way to get there. So mind the time, it grows short. Okay, let's jump into our topic here. Let's look at this Black Death. It's an interesting topic during the 14th century that there were a lot of tales about the Black Death that were taken as scientific fact. So in November 2025, the University of Exeter in South Wales, England, traced the myths of the bubonic plague that were at the time taken as fact. So it seems there were poems written, and one in particular was an historian and poet by the name of Ibn Alwal. He was an Islamic scholar who wrote about the bubonic plague as if it were an eyewitness account. Now, in the 14th century England, these so-called fictitious accounts were interpreted as scientific fact and became the foundation of scientific fact for hundreds of years. Here's a quote from the report. By the 15th century, Arab chroniclers and later European historians started to treat the stories as literal accounts of the Black Plague spread. End of quote. So his writings actually covered things like how the plague traveled from Asia, India, Persia, Egypt into England, and also the timeline of the plague's path. And also, it seemed to entail vivid firsthand descriptions of social chaos from the plague in Syria. So another quote from the report says, for centuries, depictions of the plague racing along the Silk Route, devastating cities and towns in its path, have been based on a misunderstanding and a rhyming story rather than historical record, end of quote. Well, scholars call the work of the writer Ibn Alwald as Arabia literary work. From often it features wandering tricksters in the story, they said. But is that accurate? Is that an evaluation that's accurate of those writings? Well, let's look at some origins, because according to the medical record, science believes the bacterial infection bubonic plague originated in Central Asia. However, this hypothesis competes with the other science reports, and it believes that Ibn Alwal may have had a better insight and feels that the plague came from Karakistan and spread through the Mediterranean over a 10-year period, setting off this catastrophic pandemic event in Western Europe and North Africa in 1340. But can a pandemic travel more than 3,000 miles in a decade? According to science, with sea travel, a pandemic like bubonic plague can travel to several continents within that time frame. History.com says this: the Black Plague of 1347 to 1353 specifically traveled from the Black Sea to as far as Iceland and Scandinavia within about 3 to 4 years, averaging a spread of over 1 mile per day. And probably a faster leap was enabled this maritime trade to spread the plague. So yeah, sea travel could, you know, transmit, you know, rats on the boats full of fleas, infected people. Well, let's look at this. This is fact or fiction. Scholars argue that the writing by Ibn Alwal highlighted how plagues will travel and should not be taken seriously. However, parts of the world call this literature Mamluk writings, which means they came from historians and theologians and actual events. Many such writers wrote accounts while in the military or traveling with the military at the time, and one might cast doubt on the Holy Scriptures as not depicting the actual account. Well, although the Bible seems to be vindicating archaeological discoveries, the writings of the 14th century historians were preserved, especially if the writings involved plagues. The reason they wrote them when they survived the plague was because the information it contained to pass on. Well, here's the University of Exeter again. They say such texts offer insight not because of the disease root, but into how the people of the time coped with the loss and upheaval. So these writings would include what people were doing to protect themselves and what resources they were using. It was also reasonable to conclude that you pass down the things that worked at preventing sickness. So why this research? Well, this research may have two intentions. One, to highlight the fables of the ancient world to prevent modern science from taking the account seriously. And two, to study how society was influenced by such writings with information on the bubonic plague that may have prevented the spread. So controlling the narrative offers a lot of power over the masses. And yes, it could be possible writers were making stuff up 700 years ago, but it's less likely compared to present day, because science was saying there was no King David until archaeologists uncovered written tablets from the ruins of cities that were Israel's enemies. So they were mentioning King David and the battles he was fighting, and his enemies were also recording this. So this would, I would think, any ancient writing that suggests a natural plant may protect man from disease would be labeled as a fable in some records. Let's look at folklore, or is it actually fact? So there are reports from science where they confirm that folklore on what can help fight off plagues was actually true. They studied it in the lab and they tested it. So here's just one example. They studied pitcher's plant against pox pathogens, like smallpox, for instance. So folklore writings documented the use of pitcher's plant for smallpox and other pox family pathogens. Science was recently testing the plant against smallpox and confirmed the folklore literature that this plant offers aggressive and efficient action against pox pathogens was accurate. According to the research by Science Direct published in the September 2024 Journal of Virology, they said, quote, the pitcher's plant is from the carnivorous plant family and has been used by Native American Indians of Nova Scotia tribes in the 1800s, and they used pitcher's plant to treat smallpox. The plant's extracts exhibit early viral transcription, which prevents the virus from replicating. The plant has broad antiviral activity and can also inhibit the replication of HSV1 or herpes, end of quote. So knowing this protection, you know, keeping this information, you know, written down for the masses is often, you know, a game changer for a lot of people. So gaslighting is as old as dirt. So our Heavenly Father believes, and he provides us with, you know, this wisdom and discernment, especially if we ask him for it. King Solomon asked not for wealth but and power, but for wisdom. And in doing so, wealth and wisdom were added unto him. So do your homework on all your treatments recommended to you and vet them carefully. God's provided us with many medicinal plants that can protect us from plagues, and pitcher's plant's just one. I want a list of the others. The folks at Apothecary Herbs can provide that absolutely free of charge. You can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com, where they absolutely have pitcher's plant and a pandemic kit if you want to check into it. You can give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Yeah, get empowered. Get a free catalog. Just see how powerful God's plants are and how they can aid in time of need. Well, I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.